Welcome back to the Kings and the Queens and everything in betweens.
Yeah.
Another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Charlotte Warren. It is gloomy as fuck in Austin.
And I'm feeling
it. We seem like yeah, we're dressed for a funeral.
I know.
Rain cloud. We look like rain clouds.
Bro. And there's something going on with the stars. I really don't know what it is, but
yeah. What did your maracas say today?
What did my maracas say?
Because I was like the chakras. And everyone's like, you mean like, are you trying to say maracas? And I was
chakras? People didn't know chakras.
Well, I didn't. I thought because you're like, I didn't realize. I thought it was like a thing that, but I didn't think because
okay,
maracas,
anyone who's into yoga knows chakras. That's not like a fucking brand new.
I don't know. Everyone else knew what it was, but me. But like, I thought like because I've seen hippy dippy people like have things that they shake. But like, so I know they're not maracas, like the, you know,
no,
do the Macarena maracas, but I swore it was something that was like a shakeable sand thing.
Okay, let me explain something really quick before we get into it. Chakras, right? They're all different colors. They're basically, each one is like a different color of the
But they're not rainbow. Real.
Well,
They're invisible.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an energy thing, right? Yeah. So like, spirituality is where science has yet to tread. Like it's... Yeah. We understand that energy is real, but we can't see it. And so I think there's a lot that we don't know about energy generally. But I do think for the most part, it is scientific. Now, if you've ever done any psychedelics, which I did long ago, not anytime recently, this was like my college days, but I remember very specifically the first time doing psychedelics, looking in the mirror and seeing my aura for the first time. And I did not know what that was at all.
What's your aura?
So at the time I was like 19, it was like bright green, like spring green. And I didn't even know it was that. I looked in the mirror. Everybody says, don't look in the mirror. I go straight to the mirror, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember seeing it. Like it was like a green, like lining and like glowing lining around me. And I remember kind of like going like this in the mirror and it sort of like follows you. I was like, oh, that's weird. Whatever. And then like 2 days later, I was thinking about it and I was like, was that my aura? And I looked it up and it's like, it was like to a T exactly where I was and who I was at that time. They say your aura changes. Like it's not steady. It's not like ossified. It changes depending on what you're going through and the energy that you're giving off. But at that time it was like spring green. It was basically like health, connectedness to nature, like happiness, whatever. I was like working at the greenhouse and I was environmental studies student, like outdoors all the time.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there is truth to that.
Yeah. But you know what sucks is like being on acid and having to find something in your purse
or looking at your phone.
It's been 10 years so like but yeah. I just remember, like I was like trying to find it was something it was probably right there but I'm like I gotta find this thing in my purse
and everything
I think I took acid twice. This is 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah
I would have been 20, 21.
Woo-hoo.
I felt like I lived my entire life in one day.
Yeah.
That was, you know,
yeah,
I was just like,
yeah,
like totally. I don't, and it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't for me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's accurate. I would say that's funny.
Yeah, but I can say that I did. Wild times.
I've been kind of in my psychic era lately. I've been like really trying to, and I do worry that sometimes like a rise in spirituality can be a reaction to like times of socioeconomic distress or fear. Like a lot of times spirituality rises amongst fear, and I think I have been feeling like kind of a great deal of fear around like just the political climate and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And so I want to, you know, be very careful not to be like clutching my crystals and praying and hoping for the best and not doing anything, but I really have kind of found like a lot of peace in spirituality.
Wherever you can find peace, take it. Like,
yeah.
I think that's a hard thing to come by sometimes.
It's just more open and like an ever kind of like progressing field to like understand and study. Whereas something like Christianity, which I'm not bashing Christianity, but like, you know, an organized religion has so many like rules around it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is kind of just like, this is the world that you live in, and it's not stuck this way. It's totally subject to change. It's not defining like your fate in any way, you know. There's no judgment at the end of it necessarily. but it's more or less like do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and you will vibrate at a higher frequency. You will shine a brighter light. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been around someone and they just like radiate a darkness?
Yeah, or like they just like, and you can't explain it. You know when I last yes. felt that?
When?
It was like at that, it was when we bumped into fucking Todd Peralta, the guy who stole money from our house.
Dark.
If you look at Lightning in a Bottle, it was like, everyone else had like, but it was, like there was no special light on him. I was just like, oh, I knew it was a bad egg. He's dark. He's a white man. He's totally, I'm not being racist, but
totally.
I was like, I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
And then I lived my entire life in one day, but I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck totally. That guy. Yeah. I've definitely experienced that. And like to a degree where I suddenly was like, oh, like I actually said like, oh, out loud, because I felt it so strongly. It wasn't like a retroactive imagining it. I was like, oh yeah, I think that's real. See, like you can catch a weird energy off of somebody that you're not seeing on their, you know, face.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you think you're always right?
No. Absolutely not. No. Okay. I think my intuition is wrong oftentimes, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely like really thought something or suspected something. And because of that, that has helped me grow a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I have like had suspicions and then very much been proven wrong. And so now like I don't trust myself like that. I try to give like plenty of
And so I don't space. I love to be wrong. I love to like be like, oh, this person seems weird, and then it turns out they're not a piece of shit.
Totally. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not one of those. Like, there's some people where it's like they think they have a weird gut. They like, did you see like on TikTok there was like the I'm an empath like trend where it was people being like, I just can read people, I'm an empath.
Yeah, of course, I don't believe that. Yeah, I'm totally,
because it was just like, oh, I get weird vibes from people. It's 100%. Like, no, you're the person who runs around saying you get weird vibes, and then you don't back down when a person has just like,
yes, an
awkward.
100% agree with you. And I think that's one of those things is like, I tattoo people. I have like I meet new people every day, new clients every day, and like, you know, there are plenty of times where somebody comes in or I'm texting them or whatever and they're like rude, or I'm just like, oh, I just, ugh, this person's gonna be a pain in the ass, whatever, and then they turn out to be lovely and I totally love them.
Yeah,
like, so yeah, I think a first impression can very much be wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And like, yeah,
oftentimes, like, can be wrong. Yeah,
yeah, I love being wrong about people. And sometimes like when I'm like right, I'm like, god fucking damn it,
and
let me be wrong.
And I have been gravely wrong about somebody that I thought was good who actually was like super terrible.
Oh,
gnarly, canceled.
Wait, do I know this story? Or
tattooer.
Okay.
A gaslighter, manipulator, liar type dude. And when everything came out, there was like a surviving so-and-so page on Instagram and all of these women telling stories, and they all line up and like with, they line up with things that he told me. So I know they weren't, you know, making things up. Like, this totally is true. Found out he lied to me a bunch. It was like a whole thing. But I was good friends with this person. Yeah. I really was. And I like kind of vouched for him. There were definitely times where I shoved it to the back of my head where I was like, he's lying right now.
Yeah.
And people kind of told me like, oh yeah, he's like a pathological liar. And I remember there were a few times where I was like, really? Like, that doesn't sound right, but like, okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally misread him.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I don't always trust that intuition.
Yeah. Well, today we've got letters from listeners, a Reddit one too, where there's a bunch of weird shit that I think
could relate
to this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess to do a quick hit start, because this applies to both of the listener letters. Have you ever broken up with somebody like right on the spot where it was like they did one thing, or like it was like one incident, there was no, you know, after the fact, like, hey, when you did this, it made me feel bad. It was, this is too egregious. I'm done. I'm out.
Yes. Yeah. I broke up with somebody in an Uber in New York because I fucking had enough, but it was like 3 days of nonsense.
Yeah.
And there was kind of like a final straw. It was like, I mean, I think I had some little like, that's not looking great. And then when you travel with somebody, you get to know them, obviously. And there were like a bunch of things, but the main thing was like he was like rude to my friends, mm-hmm. like my best friend who's an angel. Like he was mm-hmm. rude to her, and as we were leaving, I like broke up with him in the Uber because I was like, if you can be rude to her, like the person that everyone loves, mm-hmm. then like this is never gonna get better. You're punishing me.
Yeah.
By being rude to her, you think you're punishing me, and I'm not gonna live like this.
Yeah.
And it was pretty catastrophic
that I did that, but it was like,
I'm not doing this another 2 days. I'm gonna enjoy the rest of my trip without you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and the breakup stuck?
We like floundered. We got back together like kind of briefly, Valentine's like area of that, like later that year, which was another catastrophic story I'll have to tell. Oh my God, freaking piss me off.
I also want to punch this guy on your behalf.
So. Yeah. Oh my freaking God. Worst Valentine's Day ever, which is like a funny story. And then
he was not friendly.
Dark energy.
Like
dark energy. The person that I was thinking about that has dark energy, like it was him and like his best friend.
Mm.
And they were sitting next to me, and I remember kind of trying to like pay attention to like what they were saying and talking to them. And then when I turned to my right side, which was like my best friends, it was like Paco and Vanessa, and they're mm-hmm. chatting. The difference between mm-hmm. dark and light was so profound.
Yeah. And you hang out with a bunch of gothic looking people. You would think they would all be dark, but no,
they're lovers. They're lovers. That was not
like,
a lover.
Paco
yeah.
and Vanessa are like just the shiny. We need to have like when they do four seats, we got to have them come on and just like talk about whatever they want.
Yeah. But I mean, I hope this person has changed for sure. And I like have hope that he will grow.
Yeah.
Out of that. But yeah, definitely. It was like, we got back together for like a few months, and then that was also catastrophic. So yeah, definitely. Again, I, at this point in my life, I know that I'm not impervious to manipulation. Mm-hmm. Like I could definitely be like fooled by someone. I try not to be, but it's like to think that like, no, I would know if somebody was pulling one over on me. As much as you'd love to believe that like you can see it from a mile away.
Yeah.
You kind of can.
I mean, there's like CEO and fucking all that cheating scandals that yeah. happen all the time. And yeah. it's like, everyone thinks they're too smart. And that's why, like, I think it's the cheating stuff like hurts more is because it's just like, I'm fucking dumb. Like, not mm-hmm. only like is my partner suck, I'm a fucking dumbass who couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, totally.
I don't think there's such thing as an impulsive breakup though. At the end of the day, like, I think there's like a,
okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I think, like, if sure. someone was, like, a lot of times it's, like, yes, it's, like, a single incident that makes it, like, I've had it, where it's, like, maybe it's a different version of the same thing. But mm-hmm. also, it's, like, if a person was just out of the blue, like, acting like a psychopath, like, it just wouldn't mm-hmm. happen. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. I yeah. feel like our listeners, or letters,
yeah.
or
yeah,
stories.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to read the
mailbag? On-the-spot breakups. So this is actually a situation from a year ago. No immediate advice needed, but it is one that makes me feel guilty to this day in a was I the asshole way. Would be interested to hear thoughts as though my situation was recent in addition to a general take. Are on-the-spot breakups an asshole move unless safety is at stake? Last year, I'd been dating a guy for 4 months, 1.5 months being official. I really saw it as something serious and never would have gotten into that relationship if I could have foreseen it ending, let alone so quickly. Looking back, there were a handful of red flags that I wrote off as minor quirks at the time, up until an incident. Long story short, my work hosted a happy hour, which allowed for significant others. I was excited to bring my new boyfriend and spoke highly of him around the office up until that point. After doing rounds of intros, which I thought went fine, my then boyfriend and I split off into separate conversations, normal at these events. After some time, I went to check on him, finding him in what looked like a serious conversation with my boss. He was leaning in and pretty expressive, and my boss looked uncomfortable. When then boyfriend saw me approaching, he called me over saying, "Tell me everything you told me about why you should have been promoted over coworker." In the weeks before, my peer and I were interviewing for an internal promo, which she got over me. I'd vented a lot about this, thinking my boyfriend was a safe space. I just stood there, mouth open, mortified, when my boss said, "I've heard enough. I'm not really comfortable with this conversation," and brushed past us. I looked at my boyfriend and said, "What are you doing?" And he explained that he was just trying to help me look good. When I tried to say that he did the opposite of that, he said something like, but you've worked so hard and it's time someone sees that. This was weird to say because I've always liked my work, my boss, and the coworker who got the promo. And I said that to him while venting. While bummed about the promo, it was an opportunity that would come around next quarter. He started saying how my boss has a stick up his ass and he'd hate working for someone like that, and how I should consider working for his friend's company instead. I was annoyed and walked off. Then, when I went to the bathroom, my peer who got the promo plus several other female coworkers were in there talking and stopped as soon as they saw me. I had a pit in my stomach when I asked if everything was okay. Apparently, my boyfriend also met this coworker and told her she should watch out for me because she may have won the battle, but I'll win the war and be her boss one day.
Oh my God.
I didn't think I could be any more mortified, but there I was. My female coworkers seemed understanding that I did not put him up to this, but I still apologized profusely and was extremely embarrassed. When the happy hour ended, I left with my then boyfriend, who had zero self-awareness that he'd made multiple people uncomfortable. He started rambling again about how his friend's company would treat me better, and the second we were out of earshot, I ended things on the spot. I said he'd crossed the line, that I'm not up for being with someone who is a liability, who could cost me my job, and that he'd created a mess for me I wasn't sure I'd be able to fix. To me, this was a sign that things would only get worse as he got more comfortable, and he felt too comfortable already. He first asked if I was serious, then tried to reiterate how he was helping, and it's not his fault that my coworkers are closed-minded. And when I was firm about ending things, he tried to say that in mature relationships, people actually talk things out, not walk away at the first sign of difficulty. I held firm. I got a text the next day apologizing because he's a direct guy who tells it like it is. I didn't respond. And another 2 to 3 over the next 2 weeks asking if I'd be open to talking. I didn't respond and I never heard from him again after that. While I would have broken up with him either way, I think this went past anything worth talking out. Part of me wonders if this guy deserved a more formal breakup, a we need to talk text, followed by meeting in private where he could soberly ask questions / get closure, or even just some sort of conversation after the fact, even if a decision was made. But I never questioned my decision and was very much done. So I also feel like doing otherwise would have just been delaying the inevitable or give room for him to try to negotiate or get false hope. I've never broken up on the spot with anyone else, and I couldn't see myself doing so unless I somehow ended up in another situation like this or worse. Was anything wrong with this move? How bad does a situation have to be where an impromptu breakup is fair? Honestly, I think an impromptu breakup is the best way to break. Like, that, you are so lucky. Like,
yeah,
that you could break up with him like that. I mean, obviously that was a terrible situation. So yeah. Embarrassing, so shitty, but like, rather than having to like drag it out over weeks and like try to figure out how to do this, and now you're trying to do damage control at work and there's all these things you have to you're like trying to fix, for someone to do something egregious and you say, you know what, can't believe you did that, that was you, that was your choice and your fault.
Look, I mean, I feel like people in like kind of like male relationships almost like look for an incident or something like that because they're just like, they're looking for a thing. Like,
true.
But I don't think like, I mean, I don't think this person went looking for it. Like, it doesn't surprise me that this happened. Like, cause I feel like as a woman, sometimes you feel like the false start of like, I'm finally in a relationship. Yeah. Like, I don't know how old this person is, but like, there's sort of maybe an embarrassment of like, entering a relationship is a big deal. So like being in one for 1.5 months, like, oh my God, like how did I not foresee this? But I think like sometimes it's like you withhold like event, like you wouldn't go bring someone who wasn't an official significant other to a work event like this. So it was like, sometimes it's like those opportunities like just kind of happen when they happen.
Right.
It's like not in your control. And like, if he did this at like a work happy hour, it would have a version of this would have happened anywhere.
Yes.
Whether it was, you know, whether, you know, maybe you had the opportunity before you got together, whether it was 6 months down the road, like,
so true.
Yeah, this type of person.
That is the other thing that we were just talking about. Like when you travel with someone, you get to like actually know them and know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is seeing them around other people, bringing them around your friends, your coworkers, your peers. You will get to know them, unfortunately. And that's why I think long distance relationships are like tricky, because unless they're coming and hanging out with your friends and like in the mix, like whenever
they're hide a lot in a
you can hide a lot. Yeah, definitely. Seeing somebody interact with your coworkers and a lack of self-awareness to that extent, you're so right, would have come up more than once.
Like, and I also more think too, like, I know like work, it's like this could cost you your job. And it seems like, I do think like if you ever have like a weird thing where it's like someone embarrasses you at work and your coworkers know you, like no one's going to think I put this person up to this. Like, yes. I think your coworkers can feel it if you're mortified they know he's a new boyfriend. But like, I think this would be fair to do. Like if this was, I'm getting like my, it's my friend's birthday, come meet all my friends. Mm-hmm. And then like you like leave him to his own devices. And then you come back and he's like talking about like weird gossip you've kind of vented about that you would assume.
Liability boyfriend.
Yeah.
A liability is like, so gnarly.
It's also like if you're like someone who's really like, I don't know what this guy's job is. Like some of this just feels very like alpha finance, bro. Like I'm just helping. Like,
yeah,
you know, the fuck you're not like
I'm helping. Taking it into your own hands to like the way that you think things should be, to forcing it down someone's throat. And then what happens when she gets fired? And then are you going to take accountability then? Or are you
it's the other person's they weren't open.
It sounds like, because he kept trying to convince her to work for what, his brother's company or his friend's company?
Yeah.
Sounds like he was not concerned if you got fired, because that would push you even more towards his friend's company.
Yeah. Like
he had an ulterior motive.
Have you ever had like a dude that like maybe you're on a few dates with and they like are insistent that you should like they know of a great company that you should work at, and it's always like it's never something good. Like it's always like, no, I don't think, and you're trying to be nice because it's like, maybe they're just talking up their friend or something, but it's like, and they'll like explain like, oh, you could do this. And it's like, that's not really what I do for work, but like,
yeah,
thanks for thinking of me. Like, whatever, like until anyone's mean, like it's just like, it's someone going to bat for their friend, whatever. But sometimes it's just like.
That's funny. I haven't really had so much of that because my skills are pretty limited to my field. So I don't really necessarily have. I mean, I have plenty of people like trying to tell me what to do and give me like artistic advice and stuff, but
oh, that would drive me crazy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You have no idea.
Yeah. Like,
so stupid.
I fucking hate anyone who's like, I'm a tell it like it is person. Like those people are the fucking worst. Because it's like, they're always like, well, I like to tell harsh truth better than nice lies. It's like, first, why is that the only option? Why is like, lying or harsh truths? And second of all, like, yes, there are some truths that are objectively harsh to tell somebody that are like not fun to hear. Like that guy you've been like that you like that you like wondering why I didn't text you back. Like I saw him out on a date with a girl. Like probably like I don't want you to waste your time. Like I just want you to know. But that is a harsh truth. That's like hard to hear.
Yeah.
Any like I'm a harsh truth person. None of them ever explain things like that.
Yeah.
They insert like the harsh truth is overshadowed by their very harsh, unnecessary opinions in inappropriate situations in ways that like feel designed to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Like the best skill anybody could have is like being able to give someone bad news in a way that doesn't make them feel like shit. Like that is a skill. Yeah. Oh, I'm the biggest asshole in the room. Who fucking cares? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. They try to take pride in that. I think identifying with that also like gives them permission to continue on doing things like this. Mm-hmm. So I had a run-in with someone last week. I'll tell you about it later. But he was doing this thing where he was like insisting that tattooers, we're bad people. We cheat. We lie. We have big egos. People put us on a pedestal. We could never be in a relationship or whatever. And I just realized, because I've had this conversation with him so many times, and I'm like, obviously you're projecting. That's not me. Like, that's not how I deal with things.
That's not Paco. That's not Vanessa.
No, hell no. Hell no. But I realized, as he repeats this to himself, he gives himself permission then to cheat or to go to the bathroom to do cocaine because he's like, it's who I am. It's just who I am.
That's just how I am. It's how it's going to be.
It's just how I am. I need some excuse. Tragic. I was like, hey, you know it's a choice every day.
Right? Being a piece of shit is a choice.
Yes. Every day it's a choice.
It's not hard to be nice. I love you so much. You look really pretty today. You actually did. Like, that's not me. Like, but like, like someone's like, hey, look at me. I say like,
yeah,
the fuck. Like the only thing, like when you walk into the room to fire someone, all they need to know is like, don't come. You are fired. There's no room to negotiate. Like, don't show up to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
As long as that message gets across.
Yeah.
You did your job. Like, you don't need to like go scorch earth and tell them every little thing. It's like, it's also like, get the person out of the room. Like, why are you like, you're looking for ways to bully? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking hate that shit. But no, I think I would have broken up with this person on the spot.
Obviously not, no details, nothing. Not to get too far into it, but you kind of had an experience where you had like a boyfriend like talk to your boss and
So like in college I had a situation, like it was kind of like we were saying, like it was like a version of a thing that he would tend to do, like, you know, just go and like say inappropriate stuff and like on you know, kind of go and make people uncomfortable. But it was something like work related. It was basically like I worked for like a family owned like event planning company. We've been together a while and like I was young. So like now, like this 10-12 years ago, I don't know.
More than that,
A long time ago. Probably, I'm old. but like, yeah, like it was very, you know, he came to like help with some heavy lifting for something they were doing, like to make some extra money. He was being very weird and inappropriate with some of the other people there, like just like making jokes about boobs and balls. And I think there was like a woman there, just something like that. And then, you know, they were obviously like, oh, this will be the first and last time we work with him. And then he just said something weird. And then that was like the final straw. Like, we got in the car and it was like, this is like, we are done. And like, he was like kind of that disbelief of like, wait, what? Like,
and I love that because I think that is a perfect place to draw the line. If they come between you and your bag and your reputation with work, like your professionalism, if they are trying to drive a wedge between you and your professionalism, grounds for termination immediately, I would say. But yeah.
Like, it's very, like, it's also like, I don't know, like, it's also like, I have a hard time seeing that somebody like that has a good job and a good head on their shoulders could do that to someone else's. Like, I mean, he didn't have it. We were in college. He didn't have a job. But like, it is like, I don't know what this guy that she was speaking with did for work. If he like,
yeah,
but this doesn't seem like how a person that has a job of their own that they value would behave.
Yes. Can I ask something? When your ex, was being brought to like the work site to help out, were you worried at all beforehand? That were you like worried like, oh, fuck, he's a liability, I really hope he doesn't say anything? Or were you pretty confident like, oh, he's fine, it'll be fine?
There was a weird gut feel, like it was but it was very much like, all it is just like hauling things around. Like, they, it was also like my work, because we had like a work like a Christmas party or something, so it was kind of like they knew who he was and they were, so it wasn't like me going to bat for him, so it was kind of okay, cool. Like, they were interested enough. Like, part of this is on them. You know, I wasn't like, hey, this guy needs a job. Like, it was, but I was also like, how hard is it to lift hay bales?
Maybe he won't talk. Maybe he won't open his mouth.
You're lifting hay bales. You don't have to talk. I don't know. Like,
oh, he's gonna.
And like, lo and behold, but it was like, there was like, I mean, there were a whole bunch of other issues. And then, you know, things that, like, there was coming back. It wasn't like,
yeah, it ended very badly.
Yes.
But
like, I mean, I've had other weird ones. Like, there was, oh, this must have been 3 years ago now, but I like, I'd gotten to know some guy who, and I will omit stuff, but like, kind of just, I thought he had like a fun background. We'd been on a few dates and stuff, and he was like moving, he was like in Austin. I was like, my sister lives here. I'm like, this is so random, but my mom's gonna be in town. Like, just like swing by. Like, I thought I was like, you got a cool story, be funny.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh my God.
Don't like say. And so I was just, I didn't know, like, I was just like, I'm an everybody meets my mom kind of person. And
I'm, I was
like,
cry. I can't believe
I was like, oh, you know, like, this was that bad.
It was, it's so funny though. It's so,
it was,
funny,
so but funny. I was I like, it. I think it was like, I spent too much time with Alice. It was like, let's just have like, do YOLO things, like, you know, take a risk, whatever. And I was just like, come by. We're
you'd hung out with him, like you'd spent time with him.
But like, I was also like, you have a cool, like, you're in, like, I figured, like, just funny conversations about a job, like, this would be, this is an interesting, very Texas person to meet. And it was like, it reminded me of when you see on like a really shitty sitcom, like a guy meets the parents gone wrong times 10. And like,
it was not that bad.
It was bad.
It was just like, ugh, like if you met somebody at a bar and this man is just like talking about himself and you're kind of like stuck in a conversation
because it was way worse.
I'm sure you feel it way worse than it was, but it was.
I think there was like just like weirdly off color things. Like I was like, I have a cat, I have a dog, I love my cat, and like there was something where it was like, oh yeah, like you know the cat's like, he's like, oh yeah, like wait, where I'm from, like cats are alligator food or something like that, and I was like, you don't joke about killing someone's pets. Like, you don't. Like,
yeah, you don't at all. That's so weird.
You don't joke about killing people's pets. Like, that's just, that was like a thing where I was like, and then.
That's like two men joking with each other and like joking about masculinity or whatever. Like, but to say that to a woman who's, yeah.
But you also just, you don't say that to a person, like a very sweet cat that's just like kind of popping in and out. Like, you're not like, oh, alligator food. Like, don't joke about killing someone's pets. Like, that's fucked up. And, like, about any animal. Like, I wouldn't say that about a possum. Like, side note, possums are very nice creatures. Like,
I love possums. They're good guys. I
love possums. But, like, it was just, like, a very, like, that. And then I think, my like, you guys left because you guys were not, feel like, I was like, oh, like, my mom's going to, like, I have a guest room. You don't. And my mom's, I'm like, oh, my mom's going to my sister's. Like, I was like, oh, like, they're, like, they were just, like, he was putting.
I was like, I hope this guy dies.
Yeah, and then like, but then they left, and he was like, "Oh yeah, so like, oh yeah," and like he had no idea.
No idea. And like,
you guys, when he showed up, dude, you guys were friendly. You were warm. Like
he was.
And it was just like you could just see the like friendliness and warmth wear off because it was like
his beady eyes. Like honestly, he has those eyes where it's like glazed over, and
I felt just mortified. And like, but I was just like, you couldn't feel that like the people that were initially warm were all of a sudden like, you know, kind of being short and like. Because it's like, you know, like, I feel like my mom's open. Like, it's like, I was like, you could have, like, there were so many, I thought this was going to go in the direction of, like, here's, like, life growing up, here's a history of Texas lesson. Like, I thought it was going to be something like that, and I was just like, what the fuck? Who was in my house?
I also knew that he was going to be staying there because he was from out of town, and I didn't want to, like,
he had his own friends, but, like, I was just like, hey, like, I just, like, I'm like, you didn't, and I was like, I think you should go. Like, I kicked him out.
Really? Yeah. Oh man.
Well, I was just so embarrassed. Like, I think the next day, like, I was like, I'm never bringing like this up again to like.
You're my, like, I'm not fair and talking.
Like,
about
I think
it.
I said the next day to my sister, I'm like,
we were like, okay, cool.
I'm like, let's not bring this up again. This is mortifying. Like,
oh no, I just remember. I think you had cooked, right?
Well, it was also like he's like, I got all, like he kind of said he was gonna bring food that he didn't bring. It was weird.
He was talking about. I just remember him talking about like his. Friend's bitch girlfriend or something.
Oh yeah, he was
like
also
that.
Like it was very weird too, like yeah, he was like, oh yeah, my friend divorced
hate
me
that. Hate
it was
that.
But it was like, it was also unnecessary, like where, like why, you know, oh yeah, like my friend got a divorce and his ex-fiance is a lesbian now, blah. And it's like,
yeah, and there was something about getting like a ring back, and it was just so strange.
It was weird.
Of course, any like he should have. Well, the thing is too, like I feel like on paper, what he had a pretty decent job.
Yeah, well, I feel like we're gonna start giving identifying information because he had very niche interest. But that was kind of part of it. It was like this is a person who was like the most Texas-y. Like I thought it was, we were gonna get some like Texas history shit that I thought would be interesting because mom likes that stuff. Like I thought we were gonna get like here, like you know, the Texans did this. Like I genuinely thought.
I definitely was sitting there being like, how does this man get employed? Like, how are you making it through a job interview?
I wondered the same thing.
Oh my God. Like, how did you get here?
But it was like, it was so weird because, but it was also like, I kind of think back and like, we've kind of talked about like, you know, I think fitness is a great hobby to have, but there are some people that get a little too into it where I'm like, there's some sort of substance that serious like fitness people take, like that makes them weird.
That makes them weird. Yeah, whatever,
like,
it is.
Yeah, and like
there's something.
It's a mix of things. It's
whey
shots,
protein.
All of that. Like sometimes women like will do, but like
yep.
People who are like that, they just there is, and like you know I
yeah
yeah
totally.
I don't know.
I agree. No.
Very totally weird, agree. But like totally that agree. I was like. I'm like, I can't get past it. I'm like, that was literally, that like, could have been, like, the most chill, like, just tell some fucking Texas, like, and I didn't even say, like, here's what you could have done, but it was just, like,
yeah.
The fuck? Like,
just real off color, like not reading the room at all. And I wonder how, like, men make it to that age. That,
yeah, but like, age. I don't, like, it was just, yeah, like it was like you don't notice people kind of being like, okay, like changes to, like, you don't pick up on that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like, you know, like,
yeah, totally, totally.
It was so, but yeah, like, I was like, that was like, I was like, yeah, I'm out. And like, that was more of like impromptu kind of. Because I did, but I didn't know him that, like, that well. Like, I mm-hmm. but it also wasn't, like, I didn't think I was inviting someone over for a serious thing. I was like, oh, like, you're kind of looking to make friends. Like, come do this cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, that's why after the fact, I didn't do, like, fucking Alice typical, like, take a risk, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. But
should it we was read this very, next one?
Cause... Yeah, like, yeah, let's, but yeah, that was, I think it's normal yeah. that, you know, she says now that, like, in retrospect, there's red flags. I think, like, it's totally, like, you know, if that was, like, the first time you saw a red flag
mm-hmm.
and you yes. just broke up with that person on the spot. Because, like, it does only go up there from there. It's, like, you kind of yeah. are, you know, just, like, the first time people have sex, it's always in the missionary position. Because yes. you're just getting comfortable. Like, yeah,
totally. Totally. Reddit post. Ugh. Husband had a mental health episode and committed financial infidelity to the tune of $100,000. My husband, 32 male, was a total catch. Extremely handsome, a former model, intelligent, a wonderful and supportive partner, an amazing dad to our fur babies. Those are pets.
Yes.
I truly couldn't have asked for a better life partner, and even my friends were envious. Last month, he went into a psychotic episode from self-medicating with THC. It has been hell, and I had to quit my job essentially be his full-time caregiver and handled everything for him. His LOA from work, doctor's appointments, his intensive outpatient program, which I paid for, communication with friends and family, everything, so that he could focus on recovery. I barely had time to shower up until last week. A few days ago, I asked him for the logins to his banks and credit cards so that I could make sure everything was being paid, and he was insistent on handling it himself, which I thought was weird. And then the other day, he received a notice from his bank about an overdraft fee, which I also thought was weird considering he's a pretty high earner. Well, today, I decided to do some digging and got a full report on his credit. This man is in serious, serious debt. He's been telling me for months that he was $12,000 in debt, which is mostly student loans. Nope, only about 20% of it is student loans. The rest is credit cards and a personal loan he took out while we were engaged that I had no clue about. I am beside myself. I feel so betrayed. I want to scream and cry, but I can't even confront him because he's still recovering from the psychotic episode and I don't want him regressing, so I'm going to sort it out with his therapist. My plan is to continue paying for his inpatient program, pay for possible bankruptcy, and then file for divorce. But Jesus fucking Christ, what would you all do in this situation?
Oof. And she did share some more information. Like, I think there's some comments where I'm like, oh, that's a interesting point. There's one that was like a devil's advocate that I don't agree with, but yeah, the other details added was they were together 2 years prior to their engagement. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long they were engaged. They met through work. Mm-hmm. She was told the debt was $12,000 total, all student loans. It is actually $100,000, 20% being student loans, so that'd be $20,000 with $80,000 on mystery stuff. When people said, any idea what he's spending money on? She says, I have no idea. 95% of his wardrobe is from TJ Maxx. The psychotic episode apparently triggered by THC, but like underlying schizophrenia
mm-hmm.
stuff. And she says THC is all she is aware of, but suspects there could be more, but all she knows of is THC.
Yes.
Yeah. And side note, like I say this as someone who uses THC products regularly, like mm-hmm. very regularly. Like, it's not for everybody. Like, this is a thing that happens, like a 100%. Psychotic episode. Like, I think yeah. it is a mistake of those
people advocating for
legalization of marijuana, like, that are like, oh, it's just a plan. It's kind of like, you kind of got to go more the alcohol route, like government warning, yes. moderation, safe. You know, this isn't for everyone. So that is like, you know, impulsive spending, you know, that mm-hmm. is a thing. But also it's like, what the fuck is the other $80,000 going to? Like,
my gut reaction would be gambling, but yeah. also it's like over the course of 2 years, usually people rack up more than that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hard to say.
Like $12,000 going to $12,000 student loans becoming $20,000 doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
$80,000. Yeah. I don't like, and this is why when people are like, how much money does a guy have to make for you to date him is a stupid question. Cause it's a small piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like there is, you know, a financial situation, like, revenue minus expenses is net income. Like, you know, if someone's a big spender, they have a spending addiction, like some other addiction habit.
Right.
Like a high income earner, like that can be squandered completely.
Yes.
But like, I think like, I think the divorce lawyer needs to be called sooner rather than later. And it sounds like, oh yeah, the other comments indicate she did call a divorce lawyer. I hope that she wasn't just like floating a thought. Like, because she was like, I called a divorce lawyer and they said, since we've only been married a short time, like it shouldn't all be my responsibility. So that makes me feel good. I really hope that she didn't just, you know, well, what do you think of this? And like, just kind of heard like, okay, cool. Like we're out in the clear. Like, I think the paperwork should be coming sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Like,
I agree. Yeah, I think I'm trying to decide like what, truthfully, what I would do if this deep into it, she's already figured out his leave of absence, his everything, like everything.
She quit her job.
She quit her job, which she said she was a 1099 employee, so she couldn't get a leave of absence. So it's like 1099, you're like self-employed, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, ideally, she could like get her job back. But I think like immediate right now in the moment, cut your losses immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, first of all, totally like separate your finances completely and cut your losses immediately, because unfortunately, and I'm sure that like when you're in the situation, you're like, maybe it'll be different, maybe it won't end this way. It will get worse.
It's also like, because someone, there was a comment that was somebody trying to be devil's advocates that said, what would you say if instead this was a woman writing in, asking for advice, saying she lost her mind and went into psychosis and her husband was divorcing her while she was in the hospital? I would say that we wouldn't have the whole story if that was the case. Because it's also, I think psychotic episodes are a thing where people spend money, whatever. That's not a 2-year psychotic episode. They took out the personal loan when she was engaged.
Yes.
He's only really like seems to be fessing up about it. I don't know like if she went over his head or if he's in the, I don't know. But like he's only fessing up when like the bill shows up.
Yes.
And like it's like another person even said, like, the beware the trickle truth. If you're being drip fed information only when letters start arriving, there is probably more debt that she's not aware of. Like
admitting things as the evidence is in front of their
or
face.
It's like, I think there's like, and I don't know if I would call it trickle truth, but there is like, and I think this concept, you see it more like in general dating too, but it's like, I'm doing something, like they admit to something small so that it gets off your back. Like,
I'm to like, warm it's you very, up to
like,
the truth.
You know, like, I'm gonna go to the strip club today after work, it's for a birthday party, blah blah blah. It's like, it's oddly a little too open, where it's like I'm doing this with my left hand because I'm really doing something behind my back with my right. It feels like,
you're like, I'm being honest with you by telling you that I'm going.
Yeah, and they've got like they can get like, so that I don't. But yeah, like I think it's very. I think there's probably more. I also think, and like the person's like, oh, like, well, what if this was this? I think in any case, like regardless of who the person is in this situation, like there are plenty of stories of, you know, women getting weed induced any sort of mental health episode that makes you do a crazy thing that affects people is like, the your mental health issues aren't your fault, but they're your responsibility. Like, it's people have every right. Like, if you have a relative who's like an addict and you're giving them a room in your house and they start stealing from you, like, you have a right to be like, I can't do this. Like, I don't feel safe in my home, or they're bringing fucking weirdos home. Like, people have a right to like have boundaries, and like putting someone else in a financial ruin. Like, there's a way to be compassionate with while also protecting yourself. Like,
I'm sure that she is seeing him as a victim, but she is a victim of him. Like, at this point, she is a victim of him. Like, he got married to her knowing the financial problems, knowing the situation, probably full well knowing that at some point, I mean, like, I'm sure it's like a, if I look away from it, it won't catch up to me. I think there are a lot of people like that. Yeah. Like, people that are really, really badly in debt.
I don't have an STD unless I'm running from it, because I don't get tested.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Those, especially debt, people with money problems where they owe someone money. I know plenty of people like this where they're like,
Rob Peter,
I'll get you,
Paul,
I'll like, get you back. I'll get you back. And they vanish and they run away. And then when they see you, like, oh, hey, hey, man. and like just hope that you forget, which is I hate that because like you think I'm stupid. You think I'm too stupid to remember. Infuriating. But I think, yeah, there's a psychological something going on there with debt where they like run from it and they're like, if I don't look at it, it doesn't affect me.
Nope. They have your they have your credit card. Like they have all of it.
And that is totally inconsiderate of the people around you, the people that you love that are vouching for you, that care about you, that would, you know, go to battle for you.
Yeah.
So you're a victim of him.
Yeah.
Because like, he wouldn't do that shit for you. Obviously. Now you know, like, if you were in debt, imagine something happened to you and you were in debt. That man can't help you. He would leave you.
Yeah.
Like, he would leave you.
I mean, like, I think, like, that specifically is hard to say, but, like, I would be reasonable to, like, you wouldn't be like, oh, you terrible person, you left. Like, it would be like, I kind of get where they're coming from. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's very, like, there's certain people, I've known people who have divorced people because it's like they're an addict. There's some sort of financial thing where it's like, I have compassion for you. Like, I'm happy to help you from it. It's just like when you don't trust somebody that, like, you know, that you want to help them get back on their feet, but you don't trust them. So you're not going to, like, recommend them for a job at your company because that involves sticking your neck out. But hey, I'll review your resume.
Yeah.
Like, I'll practice interview questions with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like very, you know, you can, there is a way, I think. And I wish we had like a divorce person. Like, I feel like Rudy could probably answer this question very well. But like, you know, I think there's people that do divorce where it's like, I can't, like, you're going to sink me into financial ruin. Like, I'm happy to, like, you know, when you get back on your feet, like, I'll look over your resume. I'm not putting my name down as a person who referred you.
Right. Totally.
Like, I think there's compassionate ways to do it. Like, I think financial reasons, like when people are like, oh, breakup reasons are financial. It's shit like this. Like,
yeah,
I knew a couple and like, they were married for like a year. It was crazy because the guy like texted me a year ago. It was like pretty much like on my birthday. He's like, what's good? Like, he's like, I saw your sister at my apartment. I just like moved back there. I was like, what the fuck? Why is this guy texting
me? Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I'm like doing like birthday stuff. He's like, I want to come on your podcast. I got so much to talk about. I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, I want to talk about my like divorce. I was like, what? Like, he just got married a year ago. And I was like, that's also like a type, like, the door is very open for people who want to come and like shoot the shit here. Like, you don't have to be like some sort of public whatever. But the one person, type of person I don't want to interview is people who want to like talk shit on people just because they usually, they're like.
If you just had a divorce too, you have business on a podcast. Also
like, the other thing too is I don't want people who are like, oh shit, I regret saying that. Can you delete it? Like, because I've had one person who asked to delete an episode and it made me like kind of annoyed because I'm just like, you know how much, like, this cost money to do, and they were very cavalier, but it was for a different reason, but, so I don't want to do that, but, like, I guess, because I was like, what the fuck happened, and it was, like, tax season was the month before, and I think someone wasn't totally honest, like, I think, like, the wife or something, like, was doing, like, what's, to me, looks like a pyramid scheme, like, going on the retreats or whatever, and, you know, I think he kind of, like, she was very attractive, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he talked about a big game, like, I think, like, from what I heard, like, tax season came around and like they both like realized they weren't as cool as they thought.
He lied to get the hot girl.
Well, I also don't know if it was her, but also like I've kind of only heard fragments. I also don't want to go digging in their business because
they were kind of fresh out of a divorce too. That's contentious, like, talking about that in any public space. Like, I have a friend who, girl's crazy, but like, when she, you know, breaks up with someone, she's on her story talking about it.
No.
And it's like, ah, I'll talk shit on my close friends, which is very small now. But like, yeah, to go out there and start talking and like, you know, firing off all of these kind of really like trigger words is there's no faster way to like push people away from you.
No. I think. I'm also like, I've never done that because I'm just like, it makes me look, I'm just like, everyone's going to think I'm weird. So like, I'm like, hide in a corner and tell nobody anything. Yeah. But like,
which is great. That's the best way.
Yeah. It's the best, like, because it's like, sometimes it's like, I do need to talk to somebody. Like when I would have like issues, I'm like, I should have talked to someone in a healthy way, but I was just like too embarrassed. I was too embarrassed to talk to a therapist, which is like crazy, but fucking financial shit and people lying and bullshit.
Financial shit is so gnarly. It can be such a bitch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you live and you learn. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this is just like a crazy lesson for this woman. You can recover from this.
Yeah.
The fact that he either can't recover or will have a much longer, harder time recovering, you should leave that to him and his family. Like, she said, she's been communicating with his family. Hey, call him up and say, hey, I'm done. He's all yours.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you don't have to do it like that, but it's still just like, go and protect yourself on paper. Like, you can be nice to his face, but like, go protect yourself on paper. You can still file for, like, because I think there is a way to be compassionate and still like end it, because this is a person who is married to this person, like, so it's easy for us to be like, ah, like, I think divorce, I think get things, like, don't wait till you've paid off his bankruptcy or like whatever, because then it's like, cool, now you're going divorce with like, and you've lost all your money, like, do the paperwork stuff first.
Okay, and this is not to be judgmental at all, but how do you think that somebody gets through 2 years of like a relationship? Did she say they dated for 2 years and then
2 years
married?
Before engagement, she didn't specify how long they've been married. Maybe she did, like, in the comments. I don't know how long they've been married. I don't know how long they were engaged, but like, the big loan was when they were engaged. Like, there's a, you know, there's a psychosis and bipolar stuff, but like, that wasn't 2 years of that. It was an episode. Like, how did this not come? This only really came up when she found it for herself.
And I believe that. I actually do believe that. I really believe that she did not know until this point. But I'm like, God damn, would I? No.
I mean, like,
no, I'm too.
I would like to think that I'm not, but like,
I'm persistent. I'm nosy. I'm getting answers at this point. I mean, it sounds like maybe she was young. Did it say she was young? She was 32, right?
So yeah, so he's 32. This is in the Ask Women Over 30 subreddit. Oh, so she's probably around that age range.
Yeah.
But like,
I think also towards the beginning, there were kind of some clues where she's like, he's amazing.
Model, male model.
A model. And even my friends were envious. And I think that can make you hang on to someone for longer and like look past red flags. I think it makes it a lot easier for somebody to get away with something when they're like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, maybe he was very charismatic. Like, I don't know if, like,
totally
making excuses for people where it's like, oh, like, where is he? I don't know. Or like, oh, it's just for work. Like, I do think, you know, that kind of spending. Because I've had, like, guys where it was, like, the spending is bad. And, like, looking back, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't stay with this person. Because I remember, and I was, like, obviously sad at this time. But, like, I had someone, I guess I kind of got broken up with impromptu-ish. Like, it was, like, a fight that, like, didn't end the relationship. But then he broke up with me a week later after meeting my family. You remember this. It's, like, 5-6 years ago. The guy that I worked with. But, like, it was very... It felt weird.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, I thought it was, like, very, like, silly. Like, it was, like, oh, like, it's the song. Like, kiss me. It was, like, whoa. Like, but... no, that, like, right before that, like, we were, like, having drinks that day. And he was, like, I gotta talk to you about something. And he's, like... He was talking about like a wedding that he wanted me to come to with him, and his ex fiance was going to be there. Like, I don't know. But then he was all like, somehow it went into him having a lot of debt. And like,
oh, I forgot about him.
I was like, and I think it didn't hit me because I was like, oh, like, I knew that he had financial, like, he kind of told me, he's like, talked about, but more of like, I got past this. Like, there was a point where I could only have a credit card with $300 on it because I, like, you know, blew stuff. And then he also was like, oh, yeah, when I sold my engagement ring, I just bought a boat and like, I should have also seen the signs of like my truck monthly payment for 6 years is $800 a month. And like, I should have seen that too. But then I was like, what are you talking? He's like, I'm like $80,000 in debt or something. I was like,
irresponsible spending is so ick.
It was like wild because it was like, this was also a person where it was like, he'd be on like Uber Eats and just like keep ordering, which I've been guilty of that. But I don't like joke. Like,
you're aware, you have a concept of what you have
the way that like there is a post-nut clarity to like a DoorDash order that is so bad for you. You're like, what the fuck is wrong? $50 for like this fucking, it's it is the most, like, I don't know what post-nut clarity is. I think that is the closest feeling, like, or I don't know what it feels like. I think that is probably what it feels like. I don't know, but like, yeah, like it was, but like he would do that all the time. Or just stuff like, he would forget his jewel. Like, this is how long ago it is, where people were still doing jewels. Or like, he wouldn't misplace it. And then he would be like, I have to go into a store and spend $90 on a new jewel kit. And then he would find the old jewel. Like, his fucking stupid jewel.
I had an ex like that who had a freak out panic attack when we went to Mexico and there was no Jewel. He like got into a random sketchy like taxi that took him like 30 minutes away and he still never found it.
This guy would have done that. Like it was like, I remember one time we were like, we had to go to the Indy 500 like for a thing like the next day. We're getting on a flight really early and I was like, we need to go home. And then we're in the, like the Uber or something. He was like, I want to hear Mr. Brightside. I want to hear Mr. Brightside. He's like, play Mr. Brightside. He's like, then he tells the Uber driver, he's like, I will pay you $100 if you take us back to Buford's because I know they're going to play Mr. Brightside. I was like, don't you fucking listen to him. And he did that. He had the Uber take us back so he could sing Mr. And I was like, we have to leave at 6 a.m.
No,
it sounds funny to tell as a story. It was a pain in the ass. Like it was like very like he would just do shit like that. And like I thought it was like the hot shit at the time. I thought it was so funny. But like it's like a fucking
it's a pain in the ass.
And like it's also
hate
like
him in that moment. Yeah.
I was so like I hate it so much. I'm like, oh my god. Like I don't know what his like. I think he's married. But like I don't know if he's. But like I don't know. If, like I would assume they probably want to buy a house or something. Like I don't know. Like how what kind of but. That's a shitty thing.
I feel like it's kind of safe to say. I mean, granted, he was, I guess, in his 20s at that time.
No, he was 30. He was 6 years older than I was. He was 31.
What?
He's the same age I am now. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, that's faux. Okay. So yeah, that makes it funnier. I would say, I don't know if you would agree with this, but I feel like I would say it's pretty safe to say he's still living with the same problems.
I mean, it would be.
It's pretty safe to say he hasn't grown out of it.
No one fully grows out of anything. Like, I mean, there's certain things that have been an issue for me that, like, there's a different version of said issue, but, like, there's ways I, like, but, like, it's also, like, ADK, like, you know, I don't know. I'm sure he's like doing
maybe
well, but like
his wife had money.
I don't know if like the payback. I don't know, but I know that that's a lot of money to pay back, and like it's a lot of money to tell somebody that you have like in debt. And like I was a dumb 25-year-old, whatever. Like, and like I even think I think this guy's hot, but I wasn't like I would like to be married. Like I think like he was. Whoever he married was probably more like I would like to be married, and like there people that want to be married are thinking about that. Like I think about that in a way that I wasn't when I was. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like,
that's valid. That's
fair. Like so, it's just I don't know. But like, it's a very scary thing to deal with. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. That is so interesting. I feel like the liability boyfriend, which I'm absolutely certain there are liability girlfriends. I'm not denying that 100%.
This is just
from our experience. Like the liability boyfriend is such, it's a pain in the ass. Mm. And it's like, you just can't trust that they're not going to make a damn fool of themselves.
Yeah. You don't want to babysit. You don't want to be like, oh, fuck, who are they talking to? They can't talk to this person. Like, I want to feel like
something
happens. I could leave you there alone and you're fine. It's also like,
or you like see them drinking in a corner and you're like, here we go.
Yeah. I've been there, but like,
no.
It's also like so many things. I just don't think are that hard. Like if someone a work happy hour, it's like, cool. Just like, you know, it's kind of fun when you go to someone's like work event and then you get to like see all the characters in person and play a little game of guess who in your head. And all you say is like, I've heard great things about you. Oh, good to meet you. Like, that's all you say. And then you sip your drink and you keep it to yourself. And then you could like talk shit with your partner in the privacy of your own home later. And now you know who all these people are and how they interact.
Yeah.
You don't go and be like, oh, yeah,
Yeah.
Fuck.
True.
So annoying. What a fun little episode.
I know, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. It's gloomy as fuck. Let's go home and sleep.
Let's get a beer.
Let's do it. I would like to get a beer. I'm like, my mouth is parched and I finished my beer quickly.
Yay! Anyway, okay.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao, baby.